Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. North Coast Conversation covers events and issues affecting Lorain County. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. On today's North Coast Conversation, the Community Foundation of Lorain County has their big event, Connect to a Cause, coming up. We'll get details. And if you missed my interview last week about Skunk Fest, that's coming up next week. Stay tuned for that, too. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. Connecting people who care to causes that matter, that is really the mission for the Community Foundation of Lorain County. And the biggest event for that is Connect to a Cause, which is coming up on September 19th. That's a Thursday. It's an all-day event. And we have with us here this morning Laura Malone, Development Officer, to talk about that and other things that are going on with the Community Foundation. So, Laura, you kind of work through this event, right, all year long planning for this big event. What kind of effort does it take to kind of get to this point where you have 95 nonprofits hoping to get some funds?
Yeah, this is our favorite thing to do. I mean, it is a long time in building up the momentum. We usually start reaching out to the nonprofits in February or March and start getting them engaged. And then, you know, we start usually with our general marketing in July and really start going full throttle through July and August. And then everybody starts making that big push, usually right after Labor Day, you know, not just the marketing that we're doing, but the different 95 nonprofits out there in the community talking about Connect to a Cause, which is our biggest day of Lorain County giving. Each year, we have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to date in our 4 years so far, have raised over $1 million for Lorain County nonprofits doing fabulous work in this region. So we have, you know, pick and choose whichever you like. You've got 95 to pick from. Everything from, you know, a dementia-friendly life to the YWCA, everything from, we don't have a Z organization, so I can't promote a Z organization, but I can get you to Y. And, you know, we've got all sorts of great organizations doing wonderful work in this space. We've got a few new participants this year. We have some of our tried and trues. We have organizations working with kids. We have organizations working with animals. We have organizations tied in with the school districts and the school district endowments. Of course, mental health, as we know that September is a big month focused on mental health. You know, it's a great time to be able to focus on all the different organizations doing such tremendous work all throughout Lorain County that need support. And the help from the community on this big day of giving is a great way to do that.
Is this 95 kind of your biggest number yet? I don't know if it's gotten to this high before.
It matches last year, okay. I believe. You know, we're hoping to start breaking 100, you know, next year with new organizations. Each year we get some new organizations participating. So, you know, we had one or two folks that because of, you know, regional changes and leadership changes might not be as active this year as they were previous years. But, you know, for the most part, we've been kind of in that, we've been increasing steadily every year since 2020 when we first started the event. So it's been a great opportunity for more organizations to be out there and be engaged. And our donors like that there's such a broad list, because I think oftentimes there's organizations that they forget that they know about, or they'll hear the name and say, oh, you know, my neighbor's child works there, or I remember this from when my kids were small. And they end up, you know, donating more than just to that initial organization that might have drew them there. But, you know, they realize that there's a lot of different organizations that they could support, that they want to support, that may have kind of fallen off their radar over time. And it's a great way to reinvigorate that.
So there are certain qualifications for nonprofits to get involved in this, or how do you vet them? What's the process for that, if you could share?
The only main qualification that they have is that they do have endowments here at the Community Foundation, and that's because for a lot of these folks, you know, endowment is something that they value, but it's also something that they don't have time to always fundraise for in their day-to-day. So for all of these organizations, at least 25% of what is raised goes into their endowment, and that is, you know, they've appreciated that because, like I said, they often don't have time to do dedicated fundraising for their endowment, but they realize how important it is. We've had organizations, especially after 2020 and 21 and 22, really relied on those monies they had in their endowment to make up that balance of shortfalls that they had had because they weren't able to do events. They weren't able to do some of their traditional fundraising in those early years because of COVID and COVID recovery. So, you know, they recognize how important it is to have that forever funding and have that sustainability for their organizations. And this is a great way to be able to make it an easy lift for them while still benefiting from not just the general fundraising element that they retain for the current year, but building their endowments as well.
Talking today with Laura Malone, Development Officer for the Community Foundation of Lorain County. Their Connect to a Cause event is coming up on September 19th. It runs from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. How does that day work for people? I know it kind of focuses thing to one day and everybody's looking and you kind of have sort of maybe a running total or at least an idea.
Correct.
With the social media, you do this different ways like that. But talk us a little bit how that day will work and how people really can participate.
Yeah, so that day in and of itself is primarily online fundraising. You can go to our website and you can get a donation form if you want to mail something in prior to September 19th. But the main focus of the impetus behind Connect to a Cause is that online crowdfunding. So you'll see the everything go live at 8 a.m. sharp. Folks that may have received check donations up to that point will already show some balances of what they've fundraised so far through that checkbook philanthropy or that stock donation or that donor advised fund donation. That'll run primarily online through that 12-hour window through 8 p.m. We do have a community event that's going to be at Tom's Country Place in the evening from about 5:30 to 8 o'clock over in Avon, at Tom's Country Place, and that's a great way to be able to connect with our neighbors, connect with our community, really honor and support all of the nonprofits that have done such great work leading up to that day and that day in and of itself. We are going to have some fun events planned at that event. We do have our Tony Gallo, our fearless leader of the chamber, is going to be playing game show host again this year. And, you know, we'll be playing The Cause is Right, which might sound like a familiar game show where folks come on down and win different prizes and spin wheels. So, you know, we'll go ahead and have that starting at about 6 o'clock, and that'll be open to the community to play along and maybe win some prizes and additional donations for their favorite organizations. And then 8 p.m., everything kind of shuts down, and we'll be tallying up those totals and sharing everybody the success of the event on October 1st when we do our check presentation to the participating nonprofits so that they can receive their proceeds from their activities leading up to that day and through the day of Connect to a Cause.
So it's a busy day. It's a fun day. It's a way for people. It's a sort of a special day of giving that goes on here in Lorain County. Again, Connect to a Cause on September 19th. That's a Thursday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Then people will kind of find out on this. Any advice to the nonprofits on how best to get their people or other people involved? What have you seen in the past? I mean, that sort of inspires givers, I guess it would.
Yeah, I mean, this really is the power of the crowd and the power of storytelling. So, you know, it's not just what the nonprofits are saying about themselves, but what their donors, what their partners, what their clients may be saying about why they support that organization. I'll use the analogy of some of our groups that work with children and, you know, some of the summer camps, some of the summer theaters, you know, a lot of those parents may not have resources to really do big donations, but they could definitely tell their stories as to what their kids have learned and gained from being in that theater or being part of that summer camp, and really inspire folks to be able to, you know, help honor those organizations with their own support, with it being online, with it being through Facebook and other forms of social media. The reach of the donors that participate spans the entire country, not just Lorain County. So in previous years, we've seen donations from Miami all the way across to Portland, all the way up to Seattle, and all the way down to, you know, Connecticut, and some of the, you know, it's been every state in the country practically that has participated through that power of social media. And, you know, for those of us of a certain age, we might equate it to that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where, you know, everybody knows somebody that can do something, and how do we really leverage that power of the crowd to really be able to support these nonprofits doing such amazing work in our community? And going to peoplewhocare.org on September 19th is a great way to do that.
So lots going on with the Community Foundation. What else is happening for your organization? Obviously, Connect to the Cause is kind of like the big thing that's happening, but obviously as you still do things throughout the summer as well as coming into the fall, what's some of the things you could share with us this morning?
You know, we've got some great things that are going on. We do have, you know, some grant cycles that are beginning to close out and begin to give some awards. So the Youth Fund is beginning to kick back up again. The Youth Fund really is one of my favorite things. It's, you know, for high school students, can even be as young as eighth grade, that want to be engaged in their community. We have representatives from almost all of the Lorain County school districts that get together on a monthly basis to talk about ways that they can support their community, what initiatives they want to champion as youth in our community, not just through supporting teachers through grants, but last year they did a mental health summit. This year, I believe they're focusing on the environment. So it's a great way for those individuals that are in high school beginning to build their networks, beginning to build their broader sense of community and get to know other students from other schools and other parts of the county to really build those relationships and do a lot. You know, we have our neighbor nights, which we've talked about in the past. We have in Elyria and Lorain and Oberlin now, and those happen on a monthly basis. I think the most recent one coming up will be September 12th in Elyria, and you can find out more about those on our website, peoplewhocare.org. And this really is kind of that grassroots endeavor of how we can be better neighbors and build community in our geographies. It's not just folks from Lorain or Elyria or Oberlin participate, but those that just want to have a better understanding at a grassroots level of what is going on, what are some of the things working and not working in our community. So it's a great way to be able to have that opportunity to get better acquainted with our friends and neighbors all throughout Lorain County. As you know, we have coming up the Imagination Station Carnival, which is part of Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and that's going to be September 14th from 2 to 5 at the Lorain Library, and that is going to be a great opportunity to be able to really do more to support National Literacy Month and kick off Hispanic Heritage Month, along with the Lorain County Imagination Library, and being able to support that great work that is being done by allowing children to receive books at a young as birth, all the way through to kindergarten. And that's free of cost to the families. That is through, once again, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and it's a great program.
Lots going on with the Community Foundation, but again, the big event is September 19th. That's a Thursday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can check out their 95. I was looking over that list. You got everything, and there's, you know, there's sort of well-known organizations as well as smaller ones, and you never know what cause may have an impact in your life that you can find out through. And not only, I always like to say, you can look at those events not only to donate, but then you can maybe volunteer too. Peoplewhocare.org is a good place to go to get all the information. Follow them on Facebook as well, the Community Foundation of Lorain County. Again, our guest this morning is Laura Malone, Development Officer. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Bruce. You take care.
Skunkfest 2024 is coming up September 14th from 10 to 4 over at South Central Park in North Ridgeville. And joining us from Skunk Haven is Deb Cipriani, the organizer, coordinator for this event that's been going on for quite a number of years. Good morning, Deb. How are you today?
Good morning. Fantastic. Ready for a Skunky Fest 2024 at South Central Park. It's going to be awesome this year. We're going to have, of course, King and Queen, Prince and Princess of the Skunks. We have people coming from all over the United States bringing their pet skunks for competition, like a cat or dog show. It's one of a kind of event. You get to see all different colors. You get to see lavender color skunks, gray, brown, white, albino, all different colors, something you don't see in a while. These are all pet skunks, not wild skunks. They do not have their scent sacs. We're also having some vendors coming up from Florida this year, and they produce a game called Skunked. And now it's in 39 states, 8 countries, and it's from kids from 8 to 80. And they will have their game for sale at the Skunk Fest, and they will also sign the game as well. So that's pretty awesome, having these people coming up all the way from Florida with their new game, Skunked. And, of course, the main character is a skunk. It's a dice game.
And I should mention, Skunked, S-K-U-N-K-D, .games is where people can also go and find out information about that as well. It's kind of a fun thing, a theme for skunk. I suppose, as somebody who has skunks, do you have sort of, other than the live skunks, do people give you skunk things, black and white things, pictures of skunks, maybe little tchotchke
things? Stuffed animals, oh yes, watches, stuffed animals, anything that's skunk related, we get it. We also take in donations as well, so we can put it in our auctions to raise money for Skunk Haven. Because it's kind of costly paying for, you know, vet bills and everything for their skunks that when people give them up, a lot of times they may not neuter or spay them, and we get them neutered and spayed, and it's costly. But, yes, we get skunk things all the time, and we'll take anything.
Right. Talk a little bit more about Skunk Haven. I guess, as you mentioned, it's to help those skunks that have lost their homes in a sense, right?
Yeah, Skunk Haven was founded by me because people started giving up their skunks. They didn't want them anymore, and we would take them, and we have federal permits because you have to have a federal USDA permit to run this type of a rescue, and we also have state permits as well. So you have to maintain all these permits. Plus, we're 501(c). And what we do is take in the pet skunks and we either adopt them out or we keep them. Depends on what's wrong with them. We are a no-kill facility. We do not put down the pet skunks. And a lot of them come in with issues. And some, you know, sometimes family members die and the people don't want their, you know, family members' pet skunk, and then they come here. So we do quite a bit with the pet skunk world. And we also counsel people throughout the United States for their pet skunks because we've also set standards for vets for blood normals and temperature change. Vets thought it was 102, and it's actually 95, 96. So I paid for all those studies to be done early on with my vet.
So the more that you cared for them, the more you understood them, and the more insight we got actually into really how best to care for these domesticated skunks. When did you get started in this? How did you get your first skunk? What was that all about?
Back in the 80s, I was camping in Colorado, and I heard pitter-patter, and I thought it was a bunch of rats. I jumped out of the tent because everybody else was gone. They were out sightseeing at nighttime somewhere. And it was a bunch of skunks. I sat on the picnic table and talked to them. Fast forward to 89, I came out to Ohio because of my job. There was skunks in a pet store, and then my mom died the year 2000, and I bought my first skunk to fill the void from a pet store, and she got deathfully sick, and that's when I known there was not much documented by a veterinarian to care for skunks. And because of my first skunk, Daisy, she started it all. Mm. I didn't want people to feel like I did all those years ago, helpless.
It's almost about the time Skunk Fest then came into existence too, right, I guess?
Skunk Fest came in a year after I started. Yes, and I was gathering for skunk lovers in my backyard. That's how it started, and then it just grew and grew and grew after that. And then one time the mayor came out in 2009 and invited us to the park. So we've been to the park ever since.
Again, that's South Central Park right on Avon Belden Road 83 in North Ridgeville. You'll be there from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., and lots of things going on throughout that. Talk a little bit about sort of this judging contest, like, or things that are going on with that. How does that work for the most part?
They will look at the skunk and judge overall conformation. They look at the weight, the color, to make sure it's vibrant because it should be white. The white should be white and not off color. They look at the pose of the skunk and the demeanor of the skunk, and they judge all of that, the tail, if it's nice and puffy. So it's heavy-duty competition with scoring, and then everything gets put in the computer, and then we come up with first, second, third, fourth. You know, king and queen, prince and princess, those are the top ones. Prince and princess, it's from skunks up to a year old. Anything over a year old is king and queen in that category. We also have a picture with a skunk. Offer that at Skunk Fest for a fee, and all the money goes towards Skunk Haven, and we print it out right there, so it's a cute souvenir. And you could also pet the back of a skunk for $1. We also have that, and so that way people can see the different, you know, feel the different fur, because it's just like human hair. We're all different.
So not all skunks are the same. And does the color impact at all, how the texture of the fur at all?
No, the color does not. It does not. But a little bit about the Skunk Fest. This is the most biggest vendor menu we've had. We have about 49 vendors coming in. So of all selling all different types of things. So you'll be able to get skunk items. You'll be able to get the game, the skunked game, and have that autographed as well. And jewelry and ceramics and soap and honey and just a wide variety of things are coming in this year. It really took off.
I know you also sometimes have different rescue groups there. Is that the case as well this year too?
We will have Ferret Unlimited. They will be here. I'm not sure who else.
Oh, do ferrets get along with skunks? Do we know this, or how?
It all depends on the animal, just like people.
Okay.
Some get along and some don't. I do have a ferret, mine don't exactly get along. But some people do and some people don't. So she'll have ferrets there as well, so people can see the ferrets, and they will be selling items. The Skunksberry Inn, they're coming in. They do a wildlife rescue in South Carolina. So they're coming in from South Carolina. So we'll have a wide variety of things to do, animals to see, and just a fun event and something different.
Yeah, it all benefits Skunk Haven, skunkhaven.net, if you want to find out more information about things that Deb is always up to and what they do. And I know in the past, Skunk's been in movies. You were on that Puppy Bowl thing. Any other exciting things happened recently?
Yes. Anybody who's watching the Ford Ranger commercial now, if you see it advertised and you see...
Oh, the guy's going out camping and his wife sends him, he hears something outside, right?
Yes.
And he goes, yes, I see.
Yes, that is my skunk. His name is Petro. He's now a movie star. And we went to the filming. We did that in the Metro Parks in North Olmsted. And so that was my skunk, Petro. He is a rescue, and he came in really bad condition, but he is perfect now. So, yes, he was chosen. So anybody watching that commercial, that's our skunk from Skunk Haven.
Now, are you out there when the shoot happens? Tell us a little behind the scenes. How does that all work out? Do they just anything that you can share with us about that?
Well, let's just say we were there firsthand. Yes, we got a few pictures here and there, and we got to watch them filming everything on set, which was really cool to watch them filming and how everything. And I've got my picture taken with Chris, the movie star there, so we've met him personally, and it was fun. It was fun to watch. They're awesome people. They were so nice, and it was fun watching them behind the scenes.
Do you end up, like, do you have an agent? How do these, how do they know that you're the place to go to get the skunks or whatever to use that? How does that work out?
They must have Googled and found us on the internet, and they approached us, and we have a federal permit, because you've got to have a federal permit to do these skunks. And we have all the proper permits and everything to do, take our skunks so they can be on TV.
So did they have a casting call for your skunks, or how did you decide Petra was the one to do this?
We try different skunks on the set.
I see.
And Petro was the one that performed the best.
Gave us the most skunk look to that, I guess.
Yes, he was the most. He performed the way they wanted him to.
The Skunk Fest 2024 is coming up again September 14th. That's Saturday from 10 to 4 over at South Central Park in North Ridgeville. Free event, right?
I mean, yes, they're free. If people want to donate paper towels to come in, that's fine. We always take donations, but yes, it's free. We want people to get educated on pet skunks, that they're not the smelly little creatures that they think they are. See them up close and personal, and it's a fun event, something that you don't see normally around.
Not often do you see a lavender skunk, right?
That's correct.
Absolutely. Well, Deb, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a fantastic day. Thanks. See you at Skunk Fest.
That's Deb Cipriani talking about the Skunk Fest in North Ridgeville coming up next Saturday. Also heard from Laura Malone for the Community Foundation of Lorain County and their Connect to a Cause event on the 19th. If you missed this or any other episodes of North Coast Conversation, go to WEOL.com, click on the On Air tab, and look for North Coast Conversation. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation on AM 930 WEOL.